Today was your first quiz. Obviously, there are more. I've sent you several emails this past weekend. For some reason, one really big email I sent out never got here. So, I don't know. I have 12 different points. I listed them all. I don't know. So, somehow, the C-Web messed up. All right. Anyway. Keep an eye on your email. You never know when you get one. Some people's emails are bouncing. Okay. Also, the emails are posted at the website under the notice section, so you can check that if you didn't get the email. Check it real quick. Go to lab. Today we have lab. I understand there's no lab manuals left in one place. I don't know about the Seahawk, whether it has lab manuals. We'll get through today for the couple of you that don't have one. Hopefully they said something about when one's due. Seahawk doesn't have that. Anybody say when they're getting them? So you tell them how many you want, and they say, well, you don't want that many. So they usually cut back 10%. If they don't listen to me, they do this every year. So anyway, you should have a lab manual. Hopefully, by Wednesday or so. But we'll get those together. What else? I heard there was a tutor. The unfortunate thing I heard about was the tutor had hours at 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's see him. I'm going to have to talk with him. There's also one at 3 o'clock. 8, 3, and 4.
On Monday.
Right. But you'd have to go to the tutoring center and sign up. Do that. I believe the tutoring center has moved to West Side. For those who knew where it was, for those who don't know where West Side is, first of all, if you go out here, the library is this big building. If you go further down West Side, well, it's actually the detective walkway right in front of this building. It'll take you to West Side. So you'll find West Side there. Okay. Anything else that I should talk about before I start? Okay. All right. We are now in the middle of Chapter 2. So let me review what we've been doing in Chapter 2. In Chapter 2, we're studying kinematics in 1D. So kinematics in one dimension. First off, we have an object moving in a straight line. In the first case, we're going to look at horizontal motion. At the end of the chapter, we'll look at vertical motion. And then we have what? Well, we have an object. These are point objects. And as I said the other day, I'll typically draw them as boxes or whatever, because most objects, as you see in the homework, are things like triangles. But we don't need to draw all the details in. So you have an object that has a position. So we define position in terms of x. Again, these are vectors, but in 1D we can pick direction to be positive or negative x, meaning to the right or to the left. We start off with a position. This object has a position. When we first observe it, it has an initial position x of 0 and final position x. Again, when I talk about initial values of variables, that's the subscripts of 0. Displacement. What is displacement? Final position minus initial position. It's the change in position, which is given by final minus initial, x minus x0. And let's see, what else do we have? After displacement, we can throw in some time. Typically, time will designate with a t. We have the initial time and the final time, the elapsed time. And once we have these, we can talk about the average velocity. If we can write with a V for velocity, put a bar over it for average. The average velocity is what? Right, change in the position, displacement. divided by the elapsed time, delta x over delta t, is the average velocity. And finally, we have the average acceleration. What's the letter for acceleration? A. A bar is the change in the velocity per change in time. Remember, we talked about two different velocities, the average velocity and the instantaneous velocity. The instantaneous velocity is your velocity in an instant, which in some way we can get by letting delta t get small. Right? When I take the averages, I take it over a very small time, and I keep doing smaller delta t and smaller delta t, so we finally get some value for the instantaneous velocity. We'll see that a little bit more when I talk about graphical analysis. All right, so those are the main types of things that we had introduced for kinematic motion. But if I want to solve some problems, okay, first off, the easier problem to solve are when the acceleration is constant. So we're going to look at constant acceleration. Kinematics of 1D with constant acceleration. If the acceleration is constant, what can you tell me about the average value of the acceleration? If the acceleration is 2 meters per second squared at one instant, then what would it be at any other instant?
Same.
Same. So what would the average be?
Same.
Same. Okay, so the average acceleration is the acceleration at any instant equal to its instantaneous acceleration, which means I don't need average acceleration anywhere. I'll just use A for the acceleration. So typically we're going to have an acceleration that's constant, which will make life easy. And then we can do a few other things. Let's see. To make life easier, I am going to look at problems just like this one. Okay. We're going to start off with an object that we know initially it's an x0. Instead of carrying around x0, what we'll do is start measuring from where we start observing. So we're going to pick x0 to be the origin. Let x0 be 0. It just makes all our equations later a little easier. So if I'm making an observation, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to measure always from where I first see it to where I later see it. Okay, so here's an object that's there. At a later time, it's over here. Under constant acceleration, right, we know what A is, possibly. There is no x0. What's the final position? Well, we'll leave the final position at x. So there's a second variable. We have two variables, a and x. I said at some later time. The other thing we noticed that when we did this time the other day, we talked more about elapsed time, right? Elapsed time was take the final time, subtract the initial time. We're going to set our watches to 0 as well. So the first point of observation of our object here, you can pretend we're starting with a stopwatch. All right, so we click our stopwatch on, and we find out how much time it takes for the object to go from x equals 0 to its final position, x. So there's a particular time, right? So as I go from 0 to t, the total elapsed time is actually just t. And so the elapsed time is t. What else? Well, when I look at this object, it can have an initial velocity. And unless I'm running alongside of it, that initial velocity is not necessarily going to be 0. Sometimes it's 0, sometimes it isn't. So as I watch an object go past, I observe it here. I set x equals 0, t equals 0, and then it gets over to another point. It has a position the time it takes to get to that point, it may keep traveling, but I'm only interested in that particular distance. It has an initial velocity v0, and at this point, if it's accelerating, what can you say at that point? It could have a different velocity.
Velocity v.
It'll have a final velocity. So that's the idea. You look at a bunch of the problems in this second half of chapter 2. You have objects that are moving from one position to another. They're moving at their constant acceleration. You figure out how far they've gone, or you're given how far they've gone, how much time it takes, you're given the different velocities, etc. So there are only, what, five different variables involved here that we reduce this to. So our five variables are, let's see, we have time, how much time it's taken. We have final position. We have the initial velocity, the final velocity. I said there were five variables. What else?
Acceleration.
Acceleration. So here are five variables. My claim is that given three of them, you can find a fourth one. So very often in your problems, you have to identify which three are given. And once you know three of them, you can find one that they asked for. So that's typically where we're headed. It'd be nice to be able to use some equations to do this. So let's see, do we have any equations? Well, we got a couple. We got essentially these definitions here, right, for velocity and acceleration. What we can do is write down a couple of equations by rewriting these definitions. Let's see. Let's note the definition of average acceleration. The average acceleration, I already wrote down, was delta v over delta t. For the picture, what would delta v be?
V minus
v0. V minus v0, right? Remember, delta means change, right? In this case, delta v means the change in v, the change in velocity. The change is always final minus initial. We take the final velocity minus the initial velocity and divide it by the elapsed time. What is the elapsed time? T minus T0. What's T0?
Zero.
Zero. So T minus zero is
T.
I don't need a T0 in here. One of the reasons for setting X0 and T0 equals zero is to make... Okay. Far. Well, what did I... First problem. Okay, this gives me variables. So, and T. As I said, given three, if I were given these three variables, I can get A. If I were given A, T, and V0, right, if I knew the acceleration, how fast the object was moving to begin with, and I knew how long I was watching it, I could tell you how fast it was going to the final position. All right. So given any three variables in this combination, I can get the other one. So there's our equation. All right. There's one equation that involves those variables. Though we don't usually like fractions, so we're going to rewrite this equation. But it's all based just on this definition, which we need. We knew before today. We're supposed to have known anyway. Right, this is on the quiz. Right. So let's see. Solve that. Let's solve that for the final velocity. How would I solve this for the final velocity? What's the first step? Get rid of the t, right? Get rid of the denominator. Multiply both sides by t. I get a t is v minus v zero. And if I want to solve for v, add v0 to both sides. Okay, so I'm going to flip it. So I'm going to write v equals v0 plus at. Everybody with me? One person's with me. Everyone, yes. Okay. This is the form that we'll remember, okay, for later use. And the final velocity is the initial velocity plus something that corresponds to the fact that it's accelerating. Acceleration times time will give me what that increment of velocity is that I have to add to the initial velocity. Well, we can do a little more. Let's see. We have one other equation, V bar. V bar is delta x over delta t. So let's look at that one. V bar is delta x over delta t. Let's see what we sense we can make out of this one like we did before. Let's, delta x is the displacement. What is the displacement in my terms of my five variables?
Okay.
Displacement is how far has this gone from the initial position to the final position? How far has it gone? If I set the initial position at zero, I find x. Usually when I ask a question, I put a percentage of the class answers. Hopefully with the right answers. Okay. What is
time?
Okay, again, I can get a fraction. In this case, is can I write V bar simply? Well, yes, I can, but you know, I would have to tell you what it is. But for the time being, we can't say V bar is equal to V. What if the average velocity were equal to the instantaneous velocity at every point? Say motion. Be a constant velocity. Okay. What's the acceleration when you have constant velocity?
Zero.
Right? If you're moving at a constant velocity, there is no acceleration. Of course, our problems here typically have a non-zero acceleration, so I can't just get rid of the bar in this case. I can solve this for x, though. What is x? X, multiply both sides by t, is v bar t. So I have an object. This object could be going at 5 meters per second, and when it gets up here, it could be 10 meters per second. And the question is, what's the average velocity? Okay. In the case that the acceleration is constant, I down the average velocity. Just as you might expect it would be. So we'll take a look at the proof to you. I'm just going to write it down. So constant half the V bar only in the case. It's just like a typical average that you would think. Somebody gave me two numbers and asked if you had to compute the average. How do you compute the average of two numbers? Add them and divide by two. Right? So it works in this particular case of constant acceleration. Okay, so that's what we know. All right, let's do a problem. Apply this to something. All right. Well, we have all sorts of objects we see. We have cars and airplanes and balls and all sorts of things. So in this case, we're going to use a car. Let's say we have a car decelerates at, say, 2 meters per second squared. Let's see. Initially, it's moving at 10 meters per second. Find the displacement. After 2 seconds. Okay, so we have a car. Well, it really doesn't matter if it's a car. We have an object, right? So the reality is we can apply this thing to objects we know. But when we're sitting here doing problems, they're all basically the same kind of problem. I have this object that's going from point A to point B, right? It's got some initial velocities and final velocities. It takes a certain amount of time to go from A to B, and there's acceleration involved. Okay. All right, so let's see. In doing this, typically what you want to do is draw a picture. All right, so let's draw a picture. All right, we could do a car if you want. No, you don't have to draw cards or anything that might look like one. Okay? And so you have some object that's moving at a particular instant. Later, it's sitting over here. Okay? Let's see. It decelerates at 2 meters per second squared. What's the first sentence tell us? Give me the acceleration. A. A is equal to 2 meters per second squared is the magnitude of the acceleration. Okay, the one thing I did not point out was that the acceleration, we use the word acceleration in everyday language. Usually when you're saying somebody's accelerating, you're thinking they're speeding up, right? But the rigorous definition is that it's a change in velocity for change in time. If I look at my change in velocity, where is it? Here, it's possible, okay, that my initial velocity is bigger than my final. The elapsed time is always positive, so this could be negative. All right, so deceleration is slowing down. Which means you need to throw a negative sign in. If we don't have that, we'll get the wrong answer. So the acceleration being negative means the same thing as deceleration. It's initially moving at 10 meters per second. What's that? That means right here, it's moving at 10 meters per second, which is V0. Find its final displacement. What is it asking for? X. So as I go from first point to the second, we want to know what X is. After 2 seconds, well, pretty obvious what 2 seconds is, right? The amount of time it's taken. Okay. So this thing is decelerating. Starts at 10 meters per second, okay, and as it's decelerating in those 2 seconds, right, goes forward, and we want to know, okay, how far forward. All right, so how do we find it? Let's see. Where do we want to find X? Well, there's only one equation with X in it, right? Right here. So let's write that down. X is equal to V bar T. V bar is 1/2 V plus V zero. So I'm going to plug that in. All right, do we know V? Do we know V zero?
Yes.
Do we know T? Okay, so we get this problem if I knew the final velocity, right? So I need V to get X. Can I get V?
Yes.
Yes. How? Now we're going to get that equation. All right, so we have, all right. V is equal to V0 plus AT. Do I know V0?
Yes.
Do I know A?
Yes.
Do I know T?
Yes.
Aha, so we can do this. All right, what is V0? 10. Plus, what is A?
Negative.
Minus 2. T? 2 times 2 is 4, and minus 4 is 6. 6 what? Now you have to be careful if your units are mixed up, right? But typically, if you have all your units, SI units, and MKS units, then you can go through and expect your units to all work out, right? What do we have for the units? Acceleration is meters per second squared. 2 is seconds, meters per second squared times seconds. Notice the part of the seconds go out. I do get the right units. V meters per second. I can add the meters per second. That's a great dimensional analysis. Make sure everything's right. All right, so this is 6 meters per second. Probably should be 6.0. Okay. I get attention to my 6 ticks. What am I going to do with it? Why did I do this? Because I needed it for this one, right? You have to go back and remember what you're doing. All right, so let's see. Now, x is equal to 1/2 v plus v zero t, which is 1/2, what, 6, plus what was v zero, 10, times the time. One-half times 2 is 1, 6, 10 is 15 meters. Is that right? So, what was I supposed to time? X, did I? Yes. It's a little bit more complicated than it needed to be because it took more than one step. Once in a while, you still will have to take more than one step. But notice that, okay, then let's see. This equation involves what variables? A, T, V, 0, and V. If I put these two together, then it involves X, T, V, and V, 0. What I was given was A, V, 0, and T, and I need to get X. I didn't have an equation with those four variables related. It would have been nice if I had one equation, because then I wouldn't have had to do this in two steps, right? In fact, these things come up so often. Okay, these other combinations that we can develop an equation that will allow us to do the problem in one step. And it's simply just going back, remembering what I did here. What did I do? I said, well, let's see, x is 1/2 v plus v zero t, and then I took this v and plugged it in. We're going to do this algebraically with problems. Okay, let's write this out. Let's see. Let me derive a one-step method for equation. Let's do exactly what I did before, but without numbers. X is equal to 1/2 V plus V zero T. And then plug in V. Because right, that's what I did here. I went over, I got V. In that case, it was numerically 6. But in general, V is V0 plus AT. So let's put all that in there. This is 1/2 V0 plus AT. That takes care of the V. Plus V0 times T. That looks like we. Can I simplify it? Yeah, let's see. V0 plus V0. 2V0. Multiply that by 1/2. So let's see. I have 1/2, 2V0, and I have an AT left times T. So I'm going to have one, multiply through by 1/2 and multiply through by T. 1/2 times 2V0 is what? V0. And of course, I had a t at the end, so that's v0t. And then I have a 1/2 times a times t is 1/2 a t squared. Okay. My claim is if I had known this earlier, I could have done the problem in one step. What would be the benefits of doing things in one step? Well, faster, right? Number one. Number two, the more operations I have here, the more chance of either mistake or the more chance I have of losing some significant digits from too many operations. So we can come over here. Let's see what we have. A, V0T. Notice over here. A, V0T. I can compute that side with the what's given. And out pops the number. I guess we should check this, shouldn't we? Do you believe me? If I plug those numbers in, we'll get the right answer. Let's see. Okay, so for my example, put in, what was V0? 10. What is D? 1/2. A? -2. T? 2. Okay,
I'm listening to an echo in the background.
Okay, so let's see. What is this? 20? Minus, let's see, this 2 goes out with that 2. 2 times 2 is 4. It is 16. Okay. We started off with basically 2 sixths base, so that means. Anyway, it'd be nice to be able to do something like that much quicker. Notice how many steps it took back here versus how many steps it took there. Right? Much quicker. So if I knew that, I'd be ahead of the game. See, any other kinds of combinations? Well, here's another problem. Okay. What if I had the same problem here, but instead of wanting to find its displacement after 2 seconds, I would like to find its displacement after it has reached a velocity of, say, 2 meters per second. All right, so this thing is slowing down, and I'd like to know, okay, how far it's going when it's slowed down to 2 meters per second. What do we know? Same car problem. Right? We know it's constant acceleration. What is A?
-2.0
meters per second squared. What else? We know the initial velocity. What was the initial velocity?
10
meters per second. Anything else we know?
Final velocity.
Well, right, this is a different time. Okay? Well, it may be. We don't know how much time it takes. It just turned out to be the same time. I mean, I haven't figured it yet. I've never done this problem in my life, I don't think. Okay? Made it up. V equals 2 meters per second. So those are things that we know. What would we like to find? We want x, the displacement. How far does it come? How far usually means how far in space. All right, do we have an equation that relates those variables? What equation is x, v, 0, a? One equation. Come back here. Oh, that doesn't work. This doesn't work. What's missing? T. T's missing here. T here. And back here, V is V0 plus AT. Remember, yes, right? Is it T? All of these have T. We don't know T. Okay? So it would be nice if we could eliminate T from these problems and see the equation we get. Instead of me plugging the numbers in and doing a two-step process, let me derive the equation that I need to do it. I need an equation with what variables? A, B, C0, and so on. I need an equation with those four variables. If I know three of them, I'd like to get a fourth one. I'm going to do this again for the two big equations that we know. We know V is V0AB, and I know that X is 1 half V0 of B, right? Now these two equations. Okay, putting these two together. All right, we'll use that before. Now the way to do this, since I don't know T, is I can eliminate T. I can solve for T in one of these equations and put it into the other one. Now you can do this just with the numbers. Okay, but it's handy to have the resulting equation in the rest of this class. Okay, so let me label these. Solve the first equation. See. We're going to do a little after rendering the Rick skills. Solve that for T. How do I solve this for T? Let's do the first step.
Yeah.
We're going to be zero. I can't divide by T until it's isolated. So let's see. AT is minus V zero. Factor from both sides. What do I do next?
Divide
by A. Okay, so now I've got T. In terms of these three variables, actually come back here, plug those to get the numerical value of T, plug it in here, and be done. Right? So that is bold. So what I'm trying to do is bypass that. Doing that every single time I have a problem like this. Okay, now we plug this into, right? Substitute. Just think of this equation with two equations with one unknowns. So basically, you can see an X is unknown. Solve for one, plug it in, get the other one. Substitute in, and we get X equals 1 half 0 plus V times T. I'll put the T here for your notes. Okay. Now plug in the value of T. What is that? V minus V0 over A. Okay. You see, I have a denominator of 2A, right? At 1 half out front. I've got an A here, and I'm left with V0 plus V times V minus V0. This looks sort of like A plus B times A minus B. If I multiply the sum of two numbers and the difference of the same two numbers together, what do I get? Anyone remember? You get the difference of two squares. Right? You could use the FOIL method, right? Any of those methods you learned back in your math class. What you get when I multiply these is B squared minus B zero squared, the difference of two squares. What all this equal to? Equal to X. Okay, now I've got an equation that involves those variables. I've got minus V. That was my goal. We can simplify this. Multiply both sides by 2A. I get 2AX is V squared minus V zero squared. And now solve for, well, the normal form that you see this, like in your text, is in the form V squared is equal to something. Right? The square of the final velocity I can get by bringing the V zero squared to the other side. So why not get it like this? Because this is the way one normally sees it. Somebody dreamed up a way to write these textbooks many years when everybody followed the same pattern. All right? So V0 squared is V0 squared plus 2AX. This is the final form of that equation. All right, now that I've derived this, you can just picture going to your book, getting a problem like that. Here are your numbers. Right? All you have to do now is use this equation that I derived. So that we get the answer. Okay, so let's return to the problem. Okay, so the way you would do this is you would know this equation. Okay, which you're going to need to know this equation because it's going to come up several times in the next couple of chapters. This is not just this one, all the ones that the box out today. But the idea is the following. I have the equation V squared is V squared plus 2AX. The acceleration V0 and V are known. Plug them in.
The equation you find out.
That's X the only unknown. I can get X.
You don't have to go to this derivation anymore. We got the equation, right?
Now we can start here.
Alright, solve this for X. Right, so subtract V0 squared from both sides. Divide by 2A. And I get X is V squared minus V pro squared over 2A. That's the procedure that you would do to go from this equation to solving X. Notice we had that a while ago. Sitting right there. Could have stopped there if my only intent was to do that problem. Hey, what is V in this problem?
Finally, you put some numbers in.
What's the final velocity?
2.
What's the initial velocity? N. Divide by 2 times the acceleration. Acceleration is negative 2. If you got this negative, you would have had a negative final position, which in your picture would have probably looked strange, right? If you were going that way. Alright. What's 2 squared minus 10 squared?
Yes.
2 squared is 4 minus 100. Negative 96, that's a little better. Divided by minus 4. The negatives cancel. 96 over 4 is?
24.
24 what? Okay. So as this car is decelerating, it's going through 24 meters to get down to 2 meters per second. Okay, in this particular problem. Check the units. All right, everything was nice because everything was in meters and seconds, and it all worked out nice. Velocity squared. What units do velocity squared have? Meters squared per second squared. What are the units of acceleration? Meters per second. Meters per second squared. So that's a complex fraction. If I take this meters squared over second squared divided by the fraction is the same thing multiplying by reciprocal. Right? So we can take a look at that, and that's going to be meters squared per second squared times second squared over meters. Second squared go out. When the meters go out, I'm left with meters. So right, the units will work. Right? Pay us to go back and check these things every once in a while. All right, let's do a quick summary. All right, we've just been talking about constant acceleration problems. All right, we set our origin in space and time to be both 0, right? X 0, 0, t 0, 0. So the only variables that we need are going to be the acceleration, the time, the displacement, the initial velocity, the final velocity, right? There's only 5 variables in these problems. Providing we're looking at a situation where we're talking about constant acceleration. You may have problems where, for example, a car could go be traveling at 25 meters per second. Traffic light changes, you slam on the brakes, and you decelerate. Well, those are 2 different problems. First off, how far is the car going, right? Because usually what they say is, oh, there's a certain reaction time. You know very well, as soon as the light turns red, you don't automatically start stopping, right? It takes a little time before you realize it's right, or make up your mind whether you're going to run the red light or not. Okay? It takes a little time before you actually start slowing down. You've gone a certain distance, and then finally you start to accelerate. Those are 2 problems. This is 0 acceleration problem, and then a non-zero acceleration problem. So sometimes you break them up in pieces. But once you've done that, you got this type of a picture, what do we know? We have several equations. V is V0 plus AT. That was the first one I wrote down. The next one, which I like to write as X is the average velocity times the time, where the average velocity is 1/2 V0 plus V. Okay, that's the other equation. And then we derive 2 equations. For example, the one that's sitting right there, V squared is V0 squared plus 2AX. And then I had another one back here where X, V who's given in terms of the initial velocity, the time, and the acceleration. X of E0t plus 1 half at squared. And these are the one-dimensional kinetic equations. We need to know these. This is all I did today, was just write these equations and talk about them. You'll notice in the structure of the way I solve problems that there are a few things that I did. As you first read the problem, right, and maybe even write it down in your own words. Think about the problem. And all of these problems in physics, you need to think about basic principles. Right now, we don't have many principles. This is it. We have an object going from here to there. But what are you given? So, identify a few things. Let's see. Let's sketch. First off, let's sketch. Label the figure with your nouns and the unknown. Find the equation. Relating known and unknown. And so if we look at when I did this problem, I already drew the picture because I had done the problem before, but if we do the problem, I label it, right? What do I know? What don't I know? And you ask, is there any equation that relates to all of these? Where do I get them from? This list. Just check the list. Where's this list? You need to check without paging through your notes in the book. You need to practice so that you can, hopefully, by the time you run into the quiz, have it up here. You write down the equation, what you think it should be, go check, oh, yeah, I got it right, or I got it wrong, what did I do wrong? And by the time you're ready to take the quiz and the test, it should be in your head. All right? You should know these. All right? If you don't know these, obviously you're not going to get the right answer, right? Okay. Find the equation relating the knowns and the unknowns. Solve for the unknowns. Again, there's a list on the syllabus of doing some of the stuff. And then check it. Check your answer. Make sure you have units, right number, does it make sense? Go back and reread the problem. Maybe you have solved the wrong problem, right? You could all of a sudden got sidetracked over the phone call or something, went back and solved for the time when you're supposed to solve for the displacement. So, a double check on things. And so those are the types of steps that you would need to take. And this is all one-dimensional kinematics, right? Again, I've got an object here, I've got an object over here later. Okay, given certain information, can I find either the displacement, the time elapsed, the final velocity, all these little types of things somebody might ask you, okay, on these problems. Now, all problems are not necessarily, all one-dimensional problems are not necessarily problems that involve an object that's going from this point across to this point. There are big problems such as taking an object like this and dropping it. Okay, if I hold an object up here and I let it fall through a meter, the question is, how long does it take? Okay, so what's this object? My first thought is one-dimensional. If I do it right, just drop it. Okay, is it constant acceleration? Well, one can do experiments and find out that, yes, indeed, there's a surface of the Earth, if you don't draw too far, is constant acceleration. This is called free fall. There are some slight changes in the way we do problems in free fall, except it's essentially the same stuff we just did, right? One dimension, it is constant acceleration, it's just in the vertical direction. If I have an object sitting here, like a ball, that object may have some initial velocity. Later, it'll have a final velocity. It could have an initial position, which I could say is the origin, as before. Now, up, down is not x, right?
We've grown up with thinking every x is always horizontal, right? We also grew up thinking up and down was flat.
Y.
So think of a y-axis. The origin, starting point of the y equals 0 is here. And so I have my ball as a being dropped. My initial observation at t equals 0 is that the ball is its y equals 0 position. It then falls down to a final position, call that y, which would be the y coordinate on this axis. Of course, if this is 0 in my picture, down here is negative. Remember, down is negative on the y-axis, up is positive. Okay. We'll keep that convention in mind. So I do have this. I have an object, may have an initial velocity, a final velocity. It displaces by y, takes a certain amount of time t, and I need an acceleration.
Where do I get the acceleration?
Well, you go out and do experiment, right? Go out and drop a lot of balls and find out. Okay, what the acceleration is. And one can find out the acceleration. Turns out the acceleration, okay, since it's speeding up downwards, the acceleration is actually minus. And there's a number associated with it. The overall number we'll call little g. Okay, this is the first constant that you will need to know. Okay, so the acceleration is minus g. If a guy is dropping an object, they can throw. What happens when I throw this eraser up? What does it do? Goes up, slows down, doesn't it? So it's decelerating. But then it starts dropping, right? The speed gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But the actual velocity becomes more and more negative. Right? So as I get, right, as thing becomes more and more negative, typically we think of this as a deceleration because the velocity becomes more negative. If I look at my, I don't have my equation for velocity up there doing. But if I look at the acceleration, it is a change in velocity per time, right? V0 is a certain quantity, but let's say, I don't know, 10 meters per second. And if my velocity is downward, negative 10 meters per second, right, which will happen, I throw a ball up, it's got a positive velocity, it goes up to the top. What's the velocity at the top? What's it doing? Throw it up, it's slowing down until it gets up here. Stops for an instant, it's up velocity. Then start going down. If I have an object with a downward velocity, it's negative. So if I take a negative idle velocity, which corresponds to this, and subtract something positive, I get something negative, don't I? So I can compute the acceleration and get something negative. What is g? G is a constant. G can be measured. Okay, in our usual units, g is 9.8 meters per second squared. Yes, sir. G is not negative. A is negative. G is just a number. Okay? In different units, G takes on different values. So I could have said here that for most of our class, all we have to do is think of the acceleration of minus 9.8 meters per second squared. All G is represents whatever the right put there in front of the mice, behind the mice. That answer? Okay. This minus sign does get confusing. It's the acceleration that's negative. G is just the magnitude of that acceleration. Okay? The acceleration itself has a sign on it because it corresponds to a downward pointing acceleration. If I wanted to write down G in other units, 32.2 feet per second squared would be the British equivalent unit. Okay? So, A is negative g. The acceleration is negative. The value is e. G is always a positive number. It just represents whatever number I need to put in there in the appropriate units. Okay. What I could do now is go back and get a whole new set of equations of kinetics for free fall. Okay. Then you think I have a whole new set of equations to memorize. Well, once you start seeing them, they'll look familiar. But all I have to do is take the equations and change them for the downward
motion
of free fall.
So if I look at these, let's just think about the free fall. Okay. Let me take a look at this equation in terms of that problem. Again, all this was developed for one-dimensional motion, motion in a straight line. But my straight line now is up and down. So my first equation, v is equal to v0, right? Final velocity is equal to initial velocity, right? We have those things in our picture. What is the acceleration? Well, it's negative g. So replace a with negative g. So the first equation gets changed fairly simply. So all my free fall equations, I'm going to take my acceleration to be minus g. What about the second equation? That says x is equal to v bar t. How does that change? Right? X is horizontal. My variable now for displacements is y. So instead I'll write y is equal to v bar t. So it tells me another thing to do in my equations is let x go to y. So replace a with minus g, let x go to y. All we have to do is rewrite these equations, and we get the equation for free fall. We have v squared is v 0 squared minus what? We're looking at the third equation.
Negative 2 what? 2g1.
And then finally, y is v 0 t minus 1/2 g t. So these are the equations for free fall. Now in chapter 3, which we're going to start tomorrow, we're going to combine horizontal motion with vertical motion by looking at projectiles. If I throw this eraser through the air, not only is it going horizontally, hopefully with no air resistance, then it would have no acceleration, but gravity is pulling it down. If I put them up, it can pull down. So those two motions will be independent. We'll see, all I have to do is take this set of equations and this set of equations, combine them together to get a two-dimensional motion. So that's why it's important to know these equations so that we can extend them even further. All right, so those are the equations. Then we can do all sorts of problems. Okay, so let's do some problems. Okay, I mentioned a problem before. If I take an object and I release it and let it fall through 1 meter, how long does it take? Drop a ball. 1.0 meters. So an object, I let go of it, it goes through 1 meter. The question is how much time. Every time I there's my 1 meter, my eraser, I drop it. People in the front seat. You think that took the same amount of time of that? Hopefully it did. It wasn't a very controlled experiment. The idea is if I drop the thing, goes through 1 meter, you only look quite how long it took. How long did that take? Anybody? All right, in your mind, how long did it take? A second? 2 seconds? Half a second? A quarter of a second? Okay, everybody's thinking about that. All right. All right, you draw a picture. Okay. We've got to solve this so you don't think schedule this. Okay. Drop an object straight down. First of all, there is where y equals 0. I'm interested in the point down here. That corresponds to y equals what? Negative 1 meter. If I'm dropping an object right now, anything below the initial position is going to be a negative y. If I throw it up, it'll be positive y. So this is negative. Don't forget the negatives. All right, I drop a ball. What do I mean by drop it? I'll show you what I meant.
You don't throw it, please.
I don't throw it. I just release it, which means zero. Initial velocity is 0. Okay. So that's what it typically means. The initial velocity is 0. I just release the ball. I drop it. Okay. That kind of. How long does it take
let's see. I need to know what time is. Do I have four variables? So yeah, V0, T, Y.
Acceleration.
We know the acceleration, T. G, and all these equals, we're already given one thing. We know the acceleration. So I ought to go solve this by making use of my equations. Which equation would I use to solve this? The last one? Greater than 4. Y equals V0T minus 1/2 GT squared. Okay. Y. 1. V0T. V0 is 0. You've learned that it's always nice when things are not thrown. Right? And V0 is 0. Get rid of a curve. Nice, otherwise I would end up with a quadratic formula that I have to use. Alright, quadratic expression. So minus 1/2 g is 9.8 t squared. Notice one equation and one unknown. So we can solve for that. The minuses shouldn't matter too much. I can multiply by a minus and get rid of it. So t squared is equal to multiply by 2 divided by 9.8. Alright. So what is T? What? 0.20.
No,
it's T squared. T squared is 0.20. I'm going to say, what's the square of that? 0.45. Point what?
0.45.
So it's about half a second. Okay. Are there any other questions I could ask?
What's the final question?
What's the final velocity? I could have the final velocity. Okay? Now, there are other kinds of problems that you actually have to think about when somebody gives one to you. For example, let's say I know how fast I throw this in the air. Let's say I throw this with an initial velocity of 10 meters per second. Oh. What does it do? Comes up, and then comes back. It reached the maximum height. Right? So, typical type question is, what's the maximum height that this has reached? How do I determine the maximum height of something?
So velocity is 0.
That's where the final velocity is 0, right. That's a piece of information which isn't given to you in the form, the final velocity is 0. No, it's given in the form, find the maximum height. You have to realize the maximum height is that instant in which the velocity is 0. It's only 0 for an instant because of this. And a fraction has an instant. So those are the types of things you need to think about. You now have enough work, enough chance to come for some of these problems.
Which is a brief about the object field.